Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
Judge through love. And that judgment through love sometimes will say no. That judgment through love is not a weak, soppy thing. It's a strong, sensitive, proactive love. It's a love that says, I want to see the best for you. I want you to stop this and do that. I want you to walk in this way. I want you to seek these things. I want you to give of yourself, because the time is coming where God will not pass you over, but there will be a fruitfulness. For me, I'm seeing God's fruit at hand. There's years and years that we've prayed, Susan and I, about certain things, and we're starting to see some of them come to pass many, many years later. And maybe that's the same for you. What's the will of God for your life? Let's find out. Make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother or sister. So I could say to Verity, I could go, you'll never be able to do that, Verity. That's a stumbling block, isn't it? God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So what's the key there? Is it me? Is it my ministry, or is it Christ? It's Christ. It's Christ. That's a stumbling block when we say to someone outside of God's love, you'll never be able to do this. Let's not put an obstacle or stumbling block in front of our brother or sister. Just taking it on further from what James is saying about judging. He goes on to minister to God's people. Proverbs 27 verse 1, it says this, do not boast about tomorrow, for you will not know a day what the day may bring. Do not boast about tomorrow. Now, here he's tackling, we don't know what tomorrow brings, do we? For me, I'm already planning tomorrow. I'm already planning what I will do. I'm not quite got to what I will wear, but I'm planning the things I will do. But I don't know what tomorrow brings. Many of you have had life's suddenlies, haven't you? Many of you have been in the situation where you didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow. If you had it done, you'd have stayed in bed. Yeah? We don't know. And this is what is being said here in Proverbs. Don't boast about tomorrow. Going back to James, some of you are planning a year in advance, and it's okay to plan. But he's talking specifically to the Christians of that time. You're doing all of this, but you're not doing that. And I'll tell you what that is in a minute. We don't know what tomorrow brings. I know in my own life there's been times where I've woken up and things have been different. Last week, I changed some things and brought some scripture from Job. And I think I said to us, that I went to bed 11-year-old happy boy with no cares in the world and woke up an unhappy boy with no father. And some of you have been through the same things. Some of you have been through the same things where you went to bed and when you woke up, life changed. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I think what James says to the church is relevant for us as a church today. I think that the things that he said then, I think are still apt for us today. In Luke 12, then he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. I know that some years ago, we had an opportunity, and it was a God moment, and there's a big testimony there in itself. But the Lord says, the land is yours, and I took that, and we ran with it, and we built a house. And for me and Susan, it was a perfect place. In a perfect village, it was idyllic. And I think the story goes that the Lord said to Susan, when riches increase, don't put your trust in them. Oh. So what does that mean, God? Well, let go of what you've got. So do we have to sell? Thus saith the Lord. Yes. When riches increase, don't put your trust in them. There will be a time where God will challenge you. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. I watched a program a little while ago. It was called Rich House, Poor House. And the family who were the poor people, the lady made a statement, and it really captivated me. And she's obviously been given thousands of pounds to spend a week instead of just a few pounds. And she was very, very respectful of the men and women that had earned that money. She said, they've taken what they've been given and they've earned it, they've worked for it. And she said this, she said, money does not buy you happiness, but it buys you choices. And I like that statement. I'd like to spiritualize that statement. Money does not buy you happiness, but it buys you choices. You can choose to bless other people. You can choose to be a witness in God's kingdom. What's the will of God for you? Therefore, let us stop passing judgment. Let's make up your mind not to put stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother and sister. Let's make up our mind to be who God's called us to be. Be on your guard, it says in Luke 12, against all kinds of greed. Things that will come in to rob you of your time and your talents and your resources. And I found myself succumbing to this at times. I've allowed things to come in and rob me. Apparently, someone said to me, well, not apparently, someone did say to me recently, are you turning into a grumpy old man? And I resent the old bit. The grumpy bit was true. I was allowing things of the world to come in and rob me of my joy. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. So greed can come in different forms and shapes, and this is not a negative word, it's actually a positive word. If we take it from the beginning in the standpoint of James, where he's saying, listen, you don't know what tomorrow brings. Seek what God's will is for your life. It's not in an abundance of possessions. He goes on, or scripture goes on to tell us in 1 Timothy 2:4, what is the will of God? Well, this is where it starts. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God for your life. He wants you to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from an eternity without him into an eternity with him. Saved from hopelessness to hope. He wants you to be saved. And that's the will of God for your life. That's the will of God for humanity. So when we say, what's the will of God for my life? It's to know him. It's to be saved and to have salvation. Salvation is nothing broken, nothing missing. Does God want to bless you? Absolutely, yes, he does. Is there a journey? Yes, there is. And James puts it very, very well if we take the time to listen. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, want to know what the will of God is? It says this, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, set apart. And what would happen in the Old Testament is there would be things set apart, made holy for God. God wants you to be sanctified, set apart for him, for his glory. God wants you to be on a journey of refinement. Scripture says that everything will be tested by fire. Now, what the fire is there, it's a refiner's fire. And if you know anything about smelting gold and silver and precious metals, you know they put them into a fire. They heat them up and the dross comes to the top and they scoop the dross off and there's a purity left there. God wants us to be purified, even through tough times. And when we look through the book of James, we will see that sometimes bad things happen to good people. There is a refinement, but God's will for you is that you should be sanctified. You want to know what God's will is. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be sanctified. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Oh, it's hard to rejoice always, isn't it? Or is it just me? Rejoice always is what we're asked to do here. Pray continually. Oh, Lord, help me. Give thanks in all circumstances. I remember I was in hospital with Ali. I think Sarah was there. I can't remember what he went in for. And this scripture, I said to him, he said, what? I've got to give thanks for what's happening to me. We said, no. Give thanks in the circumstances, not for the circumstances. Lord, thank you for giving me this ailment. No. Lord, thank you that you're with me. Lord, the report is that the world has said I have cancer. Lord, I thank you that you are my physician. He's not given thanks for the cancer that he has. Well, he has not now. He's given thanks that God is an overcomer in us, yes? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Rejoice always, then. It's a command to us. Pray continually. That's something God instructs us to do. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? I'm glad you asked, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know what God's will is? Are you going through a tough time? Don't answer. Because I know that if you're a Christian, you are. Because we're in the world, not of the world. There's a war that's being waged. That's why God says, put on the full armor of God. Not just half an armor, but all of it. Why? Because the enemy's trying to sneak up on you. He's trying to come via the other gates. When I had my optician test, they did a field view test. And every time I saw a white light, I had to press the clicker. Well, they asked me to do it with my glasses off. Well, that's a bit strange because I couldn't see anything. But you know what? These little white dots, they came from everywhere. And I had to have good field vision in order to see them. So have you as a Christian. You know, we take what's natural and we can say, God, speak to me through it. There are times the enemy comes from over there and we don't see him because we have a blind spot. That blind spot might be our job. It might be our hobbies. It might be our career path. It might be our financial state. It might be our mental, emotional, and well-being. It might be what other people are saying. Because someone is saying this about me, I'm blinded, I can't see the enemy coming. The Bible says, doesn't it? Is it okay to get excited, by the way? Is that yes? The Bible says that if he be for us, who can be against us? That's what the Bible says. He is there. He is our rear guard. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. God's will is that you rejoice, that you give thanks in all circumstances, even in valley experiences. One of the things James does really, really well is he doesn't say when you're saved, everything is okay. He says when you're saved, you're heaven bound, but you will have trouble. Jesus says himself, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. Are you still with me? We only have a few scriptures left. I want to talk about the will of God. And I can't fully answer what the will of God is for you, but we can see what scripture says. So in Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. This letter is saying, be wise, not unwise. Goes on in 16, making the most of every opportunity. There is an opportunity that God's going to give you today. It may not be there tomorrow, because the days are evil, it says. It's talking about today. Scripture also says, don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough worries of its own. Tomorrow will take care of itself. James is saying through James 4, there are times that we think this is going to happen tomorrow, but we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. That's why we need to say, Lord, what's your will for my life? What's your will for my life? The days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Well, he's answered the question here. What's the Lord's will here? It's to be wise, not unwise. Is to make the right choices according to God's plans and purposes. But Lord, what's your plan and purpose? For you to walk in righteousness. For you to be sanctified. For you to be saved. That's God's will for your life. If you have a young person that you counsel and they say, I want to know the direction God wants me to go in. What's the will of God for my life? You can quote some of these things. And they're found in Scripture. They're not plucked down from the internet. They're actually in the Bible. That's what God's will is for your life. Two scriptures left. This one is 1 Peter 2:15. For it is God's will. What is God's will? That by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. When we do good, we silence people. We're living in an age, and I think we've always lived in an age, when you look back, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. But there's an age where people are actually taken back when you do something nice. When you open the door for someone these days, they go, oh, thank you. Not used to that. I was brought up with that. Was you? If you're on a train and it's busy and there's a pregnant woman, you don't have to be convicted to say, would you like my seat? We were brought up to say, here's a seat. But we're living in an age where we hear this word equality. And so you have some people go, well, you want it, you stand. It's not my problem that you're pregnant. That's not good, is it? It says here, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. When you do good for the right reasons, it will silence the enemy. It will make the enemy ashamed. It will silence them. Live as free people, it says, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slave. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God, honor the emperor. Do we have to pay our taxes? Oh, honor the emperor. Fear God. Respect and love the family of believers. Let's have a real sense of togetherness as God's people. Final scripture. Some people may want to know what God's will is for their life. You may want to know what career path to take. You want to know how much finances do you give. You want to know how many times do you forgive someone who's erred against you. You want to know who you're going to marry. You want to know, should I stay here, should I go? You want to know that God's going to answer it. Is that good news? In this portion of scripture, it talks about the world's trappings. It talks about all the good things. It talks about all these things. Let me just, in Matthew 6, starting at verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, that not even Solomon in all his splendor, and Solomon was a wealthy, wealthy man, was dressed like one of these. Don't worry about your clothes. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And sometimes we can take the word little faith and we can feel, oh, crumbs, that's me. But God says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and that's little, isn't it? You can say to this mountain, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to cancer. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to poverty, emotional, mental health. You can speak to it. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, so you have little faith. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Sometimes we can worry. We've been there. I'm sure some of you have. Lord, I have no food to eat. God says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow. Today has enough worry of its own. What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things. Those that are outside of God's church. They're running after all the trappings of the world. You know, where should I go on holiday? What car should I buy? That's not in scripture. That's me paraphrasing. It's saying, what am I going to do? Which house should I live in? Which street should I covet? Lord, how much should I have in my bank account? God's going to answer all of these things. It's the will of God for you. It says the world runs after all these things. And remember the caveat we put at the beginning. It is not wrong to plan for the future. Actually, if we say it's wrong, we go against what Scripture says. Because the Bible teaches his people, teaches us to be good stewards of what he's given us. To be good stewards of what he's given us. There are men in the Bible that there's one man particularly, he has such a big harvest that he says, what am I going to do with all this stuff? I have 16 cars and I have 3 helicopters and I've got nowhere to put them. And he says, I know what I'll do. I'll tear my small barn down and I'll put a big barn up. I'll put a big barn up. It'll take all the stuff I've got. And then Scripture says, you foolish man, for today your life will be demanded of you. Yes, it's okay to plan for the future, but I think James is saying, don't store up. Don't store up. Don't store up that much that you'll never, ever be able to spend it, and you're refusing to bless others with it. Plan, yes, but seek God's will for your life. And we're going to find out what his will is. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. This is God's will for your life. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I invite our worship team back? We're going to finish there. What James is saying back in James 4 is, some of you, he's talking to the people of today, they're going off for a year to make money. And that's not necessarily wrong in itself. But they don't know what God's will is for their lives. You see, as we seek first the kingdom, I remember Michelle giving a testimony, and it was a really good testimony, where she was saying, Lord, who do I marry? I want someone tall with lots of hair. And he gave her Clive, who was short and bald. And she said, these are her words, not mine, if you're listening. She said, so I decided to seek God. And then God gave me a love for Clive. He started to open up the doors. And her testimony was this. I realized the will of God for my life was to seek him first. And as I sought his face, then everything else was given to me. I found the man that I was going to love and was going to love me for the rest of my life. I found the home that God wanted to furnish me with, the occupation that he'd blessed me with, the finances that he'd endowed me with, the friendships that he'd given me, the ministry that he's enabled me to walk in. All those things were found. Why? Because she walked in the will of God. And the will of God for her life, my life, and your life is to seek first the kingdom. I hope this makes sense to you. Please read through James. He will encourage you. He will challenge you. He will inspire you to be who God has called you to be, so that you can lay hold of the riches of this world, so that you can sow into God's kingdom, that you can make a difference, that I can make a difference, that we can be who God wants us to be, that we can be sanctified, set apart for him, holy, being challenged and changed. The Bible says, and I'll leave you with this, for there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But I want to say this, there is conviction. Conviction is when you try and take the speck of sawdust out of someone's eye and you've got a plank in your eye and you go, Lord, help me. I want to pray continually. I want to rejoice in all circumstances. Lord, I want to be where you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. I'm going to seek first your kingdom. And Father God, I have an expectation that you'll bless me with life's riches so that I can be a blessing. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired. And our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.